This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to the power ranking of the power rankings in just a second here. A lot of chatter on the text page over the Astros conversation we were just having. And a lot of people are, I mean, we're trying to eat what's on our plate by keeping Alex Bregman, but merely bringing up Kyle Tucker's name. And if you missed it, Chandler Rome had a piece that said the Astros are getting a lot of phone calls about the availability of Kyle Tucker, if he's available. A lot of people, people seem more resigned to Tucker leaving after next year than they do to Bregman leaving in the next couple of weeks.
Which is more about the fact that Tucker's going to command a 10-year contract.
Dude.
And it just feels like such a stretch for the Astros. So that's where if you've resigned yourself to the Astros never stretching, then it's a lot easier to accept it. And yet, if everything else was taken out of it, let's say we had the Mets finances or what have you, but we still had to make a decision. I think the vast majority of people would say keep Tucker for 10 years than Bregman for six.
They would. They would. That's an interesting. I may poll the. I probably put that poll up before. It sounds like something we've done, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But this Juan Soto contract does affect the Astros. Like the price. You know, Kyle Tucker, like Soto, is a corner outfielder that does a ton of stuff well. Does he do it as well as Juan Soto? Some things maybe, but not, maybe not the whole package. But age-wise, a little bit older than Juan Soto, but like he's in the neighborhood, man.
He's in he's in the $400 million conversation.
Yes, yeah.
And the Astros have never spent more than $151 million.
Right. No,
that's a big leap.
Yes.
That's a potentially threefold leap. Yeah. And
it ain't happening. Yeah.
So I can't believe I just said I'm okay with the Major League Baseball salary.
I think yeah, right. I know.
To be clear, I'm not okay. I wish baseball had a hard cap. The one saving grace is that the Major League Baseball Players Association seems to put a lot of pressure on their players to honor the contract, at least.
Yep.
There aren't holdouts, with 2 years remaining on the contract or what have you. So that's the level of stability where at least you feel like, okay, we don't have to worry about disgruntled players as much in baseball as we do in football and in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Guys tend to honor their contracts, at least.
It's great news for the Yordan Alvarez contract, because that would be a contract where if he's still this guy in 2026 or 2027, I could see if Yordan's got the right representation, I could see them twisting the screws a little bit,
If there were a culture, in baseball of wrangling your way out of deals or forcing trades and everything,
100%.
But it's still very much the exception when that happens in baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's do this. Let's power rank the power rankings. This on the heels of a weekend where the Texans did not play. Their bye week this weekend. They and five other teams had a bye, so we'll see how much movement there was for the Houston Texans. We rank the power rankings. We have four that we use. In no particular order yet, SI.com, TheAthletic.com, CBSSports.com, ESPN.com. We count them down, and number four on the list this week is CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. He's got the Texans down one spot. So they just sat around at home, didn't do anything, and moved down a spot to 15th, barely in the top half. And this is what Pete Prisco has to say, Seth. We know Pete Prisco, always very short and to the point. They come off a much-needed bye week leading the division, but they haven't played like a playoff team much of this season. The next 4 weeks has to be about getting right for the playoffs, to which I say, not exactly the schedule. That's not exactly a get-right schedule they've got coming up over the next four weeks.
No. Although, it's not a get right schedule, but it is, man, one that if you can pass this test, if they were to win two of these next three games, I think the enthusiasm meter would be off the charts in Houston, especially, like, obviously one of those games would either be against the Ravens or the Chiefs. Those are the big ones. That's where you feel, if you split those two games there, you can feel like, all right, they're in the big boy pool right now. They're swimming in the deep end.
Okay, would you sign up for this right now? Okay, these next three games, I'll include the Dolphins game. Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens over an 11-day period. 2-1, but the two wins are classic, like, Texans last-second hanging-on wins, and the one loss is like the Minnesota game, where they get destroyed.
Or if it's the second half of the Titans game or something like that.
No. Yeah. They get blown out. They lose 40-7, but they win the other two games by a field goal. Would you sign up for that right now?
Oh, if they win the other two games?
They win the other two, but it's by a field goal, but they get blown out. And the blowout is at the hands of either the Chiefs or the Ravens. Either one.
It would be the first team the Chiefs blew out all year long.
If it were the Chiefs, right?
That would make me nervous.
Yeah.
And yet the Ravens scare me more from a physical matchup standpoint. So if the... Yeah.
I'm just telling you, if that happens, I don't know how great I feel. Like, I don't... A blowout to the Chiefs or Ravens almost cancels out a close win against
them. Yeah, because they've shown the ability to play it down to the wire with the better teams in the league.
Packers,
right.
Yeah.
The Lions is such a weird one. I've got... Sean, I asked over the weekend, okay, what do the Texans need to do to get on the Lions level in terms of team building?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And I had a lot of people fairly point out that, hey, the Texans did play a very close game to the Lions. The problem is, A, in that game, the Texans actually picked off Jared Goff 5 times and still lost. Like, the fact that it was close wasn't because they played a good, complete game.
Yep.
It's because they managed to pick off Jared Goff 5 times and
yes.
the offense did nothing.
Yep.
It should have been a blowout for the... You pick a quarterback off 5 times, you should be blowing that team out. I don't care if it's the 2007 Patriots.
Yep.
So there's that. The potential... And the other thing about the Lions is, like, if you just look at points scored versus points allowed.
Yeah.
They're at a record level right now. They've got their scoring margin is like over 100 points, like well over 100 points at this point.
Yes.
Where the Texans are just treading water and hovering in the positive territory.
20. They're plus.
They're not the same team. They're just not the same team.
Plus 20. My hypothetical, I would sign up for it. Two close wins and a blowout loss to either the Chiefs or the Ravens. Only because I think there's a chance they could go 0-3 in these games right now. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're giving me a winning record in these next three games. I don't care what they look like. But, Sean, they're going to get destroyed by either the Chiefs or the Ravens, and you're going to come in on Monday and have to talk about it. Cool, I'll take the two close wins and see where we go.
The crazy thing is, you know, it recency matters. And right now in this power rankings, the Texans are 15th, the Colts are 16th.
Yeah.
Even though the Texans have two games ahead on the Colts at this point, or two more wins at this point. The Bucks are the team that moved up above the Texans during the Texans' bye week.
Okay. All right, well, let's see. And they had a nice win, the Bucks did, over the weekend. All right, let's see.
By the way, real quick, too.
Yeah.
Finally, the line has been rectified. Where for weeks we were looking at the Patriots were a favorite in Denver.
The Colts.
The Colts were a favorite in Denver, which didn't make any sense at all. I think they're 4-point underdogs.
Okay, that sounds way more right. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, number three. So number four, CBSSports.com. Number three, power ranking of the power rankings, SI.com. Also has the Texans at 15th, holding steady. From last week, here's what Connor Orr has to say about your Houston Texans. The Texans aren't exactly a team on the skids. They did survive against the Jacksonville Jaguars the week before the bye, but I have a hard time penciling in a win against Miami at home. This Dolphins team is remade, and Houston has posted a net positive EPA for the offense as a unit just twice since October 20th. Since week 8, that was the Colts game at home, the Texans are 24th in offensive EPA, 24th in EPA per dropback, and 27th in dropback success rate. I'll translate. The offense has been very, very, inspiring over the last 5 weeks. Bottom quartile. upper quartile of the bottom quartile.
Yeah, they're it's just been
not good.
It's been they're in a coma. Just you've gotten nothing out of them at times.
Yep.
That Lions game, you had to, with five interceptions, you couldn't do anything with any of it.
Nope.
It's moribund.
Nope.
It's rough.
Especially in the second half. All right, number two, power ranking of the power rankings, theathletic.com. Texans holding steady at number 13 off of a bye. In their category this week, Seth, is the breakout player for each team. They select Kamari Lassiter as the breakout player for the Texans.
There we go.
They say this. The second-round pick doesn't get as much attention as some of this year's other rookie cornerbacks, much to the chagrin of Seth Payne, who has a defensive rookie of the year betting ticket on Kamari. I added that part, Kamari Lassiter. But he's looking like a player who is on his way to locking up pass catchers opposite Derek Stingley for a long time. Lassiter and Stingley are tied for second on the team with 3 interceptions and tied for 6th on the team with 41 tackles apiece. I read that and I'm like, dang, they're tied for second. Who's first? Another rookie, Kalen Bullock. I think you could have just as easily put Kalen Bullock as the breakout player for the Texans here as well. Kalen Bullock's had a nice season.
I think both of those guys, they've got the potential to pull off what Will Anderson did last year, which is you're playing some high-profile games.
Yeah, late run.
You could make a late run for Rookie of the Year, because if you make big plays in these games, especially versus the Chiefs and then versus the Ravens on Christmas Day, they might surge up the boards if Kamari Lassiter had several picks in this
game. Mahomes been throwing some picks this year too, man. I mean, Mahomes, he's got double-digit picks this year, man. So just saying.
That's all we need. I made that futures bet on Kamari Lassiter back during training camp when, for the most part, it's first-round picks that are in the discussion.
Yeah.
And I still feel good about the pick because I think Kamari Lassiter has outperformed his draft status people's concerns about his 40 time, all of that.
Yep.
Because it was a really good – I can't remember what the number I got it at.
40-1.
The risk-reward was appropriate for me.
Yeah, you got it at 40-1 is what you told me at the time. So that's, maybe he can work his way back
into
it.
Thank you for handling my finances better than I do myself.
We need to talk about your 401k after the show. Last one, number one, power ranking of the power rankings, I believe for like the 6th consecutive week. Good for you, DJ BNMA and ESPN.com. You're bullish on the Texans. They hold steady at number 11 in their power rankings. Most shocking ranking is their category. I don't know if I'm shocked by this. Quarterback C.J. Stroud leads the league in dropbacks under pressure. I mean, I guess maybe shocking compared to the beginning of the year. Like, if you had to guess, would you have guessed that it would be that the pass protection would have been this poor before the start of the season? I know you had your
right.
quibbles with the O-line.
I was concerned about it, but I didn't think it was going to be worse than last year.
Right.
I think that's the biggest difference was. And I think maybe one thing we saw was that Jarrett Patterson's ability to make the calls at the line and prevent a lot of these miscommunication issues that the O-line had in the first part of the season, that made a difference last year, too, when Jarrett Patterson was playing center. And as much as I think Juice Scruggs is more naturally a center than he is a guard, right now, for this team right now, Jarrett Patterson is the guy that has to play center. That's where it gets interesting with Kenyon Green versus Juice Scruggs. Yeah, I think it's fair to wonder, okay, would Kenyon Green be better now with Jarrett Patterson at center? And, like, how do you figure that out? Mm-hmm. It might end up being a rotation at left guard for a little bit. And I'd be cool with that. Usually people are skeptical of rotations on the offensive line. Look, you're not in a lofty position of strength right now where you can't be playing a little experiment. Experiment!
Yeah.
We got to figure out a way to make this monster come to life, damn it.
Yep. Got a lot of people.
Hook up some calipers to the nodes on their necks and send a charge through them.
Let's go. Text message, Sean, regarding your hypothetical. I'll take 2-1 over the next 3, no matter how they look. That's kind of where I'm at. If you missed it, my hypothetical was, would you sign up for 2-1 over these next 3 games if the 2 wins are like classic close Texan, letting the team hang around, letting the other team hang around wins? And of course, one of them, you'd be like, yeah, I can't believe they let the Chiefs or the Ravens hang around. And the loss was a blowout loss. Now, I would take, you know what I would sign up for? They lose close games to the Dolphins and the Chiefs, and they blow out the Ravens on Christmas Day. That's the rare 1-2 that I would sign up for, because that would give you momentum going into that last game of the year, you know?
Ravens will be coming off a game versus the Steelers, by the
way.
You know, probably going to be a tough, physical, highly emotionally charged air to it. And then they're going to be traveling on Christmas and playing on Christmas Day. I think the Texans might have a bit of the less definable advantage in there.
I agree with that. I'd much rather be the home team playing on a short schedule on a holiday than the road team for sure. Seth, as you know, I was in Pittsburgh this weekend watching the Steelers and the Browns, and I can tell you from my educated eye, they are strong, tough, and physical, the Steelers. That's what I walked away from that game with. Yeah. I could see it there. I was in the stadium. You need eyes on the Steelers there. I was there, and my assessment, strong, tough, physical football.
That's your advanced scout.
It is.
Notes that you came back. If you were working for D'Amico, he would have been like, okay, Sean, what'd you learn? And you'd be like, you know, they seem pretty tough. They seem like a tough football team.
Strong.
That's what I noticed.
Physical.
Yeah.
And they play this song called Here We Go, like 15 minutes before the game.
And then you leave and D'Amico like starts rubbing his forehead. It's like, I can't believe Cal made me hire this guy.
I can't believe I did Cal this solid.
What the hell? Just wasting my time every time I talk to him.
He does bring donuts, though. Yeah, like D'Amico needs a donut. It was the last time D'Amico ate a donut. Speaking of donuts, okay, I'm going to save this. I want to ask the audience what they thought of something the NFL did last night. So we'll get into that. The college football playoff bracket is out now as well. I've got one thing I think they will change about this next season. We'll get into both of those items coming up next.